men that were leading the church. This would have been very early in the church life, and really in right at the process of where things are just getting established. It says, "And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost." It's interesting, what I'm going to teach in Sunday or preach in Sunday school is exactly what you just read. Who sent forth these missionaries? And the, Rhonda, you should be teaching this class, certainly not your father. She gets it right up front. God, the Holy Spirit, sent them forth. The church sent them forth. They're not opposing ideas. Verse 5, and it goes ahead and talks about where they go. Now, chapter 14, please. We're going to skip over all the gritty details. 14 and verse 21. We're going to finish up this thing on the local church. We have been talking for weeks. Oh, long time. The local church is led by the pastors, overseers, or elders. It is served by the deacons. And it is ultimately governed by the saints. Now, last week we spent a lot of time with that word saint, or the members. So that's kind of the basic broad outline. There's a reason why we're going to start here this morning. If you're a member of this church, it is expected and assumed that you're going to support missions. I'll say both, expected and assumed. I won't be checking your financial records, but I would assume if you're a Christian and somebody reached you with the gospel, you want other people to hear the gospel. Plus, you want to obey God, you know, all those little things. How do you evaluate a missionary or missionaries? Well, there is a proper way, and unfortunately not always followed by churches. And I don't think every church member can do this for every missionary. One of the reasons I'm a big fan of you knowing and supporting missionaries yourself, so you actually get to know them. Are they doing the job? Don't ask me, because you might hear things you don't want to hear. 14:21. It says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again. I mean, missions is not a 15-minute thing, folks. It's not having a mission. It's not having an evangelistic rally. It says they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming, and this is a big piece of what missionaries do, the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And then Luke puts himself in there, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Now, if you look down at verse 26, and thence they sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And by the way, I believe in the sovereignty of God in evangelism. I also believe that God opens the door of faith to the Gentiles when there's Christians actually talking to people. You understand? God didn't just zap and all those folks over there got saved. God uses means. Yes? I think. Verse 28, and there they abode a long time with the disciples. Well, let's pray and then we'll get started this morning. Father, thank you for this day. May this be a profitable morning. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're way down in your notes. Let's see how many pages we have left. We are on third to last page. And we'll finish this morning this material. So we've been talking about these concepts led by the pastors, overseers, elders, served by the deacons, governed by the saints. In your notes, under the information on saints, I talk about three basic statements. Baptists have always believed that the local church, wow, who did that? What kind of English is that? Southern Illinois speak. I think it's the word is. Our bad English, yes. Yes, thank you, Pam. Pam is always so generous. The local churches are, however you want to do it, make sure it matches because it's going to drive me nuts. Meaning this, what does it mean for a local church to be autonomous? And by the way, so everybody look up here. Phil, you're a newer Christian. Just a few, how many years you've been saved? 15 minutes? No longer than that. All right, what's it mean to be autonomous? If you say a church is autonomous, what does that mean to you? Does it mean anything to you? Okay, you don't have to have an answer. Anybody? It's on its own? Yeah, I'm going to explain it with the words right underneath that, but this becomes important for this reason. In Acts 13, this is not real heavy stuff. I preached a sermon on this years ago. The church began in a local church. A missions began there. They also resulted in, yes, local churches, plural. And by the way, why is that important? Because if a church is autonomous, that means it is able to do certain things. The goal of missions is not, I will leave countries out of this. Every country I've been to teach and preach, has different problems, including America. The biggest problem in some fields is the missionaries never developed autonomous churches. Now, by the way, we're going to get done with these notes or we're not. But I'm going to have some of you thinking, or not. Here's the question. Why did they not develop autonomous churches? Would you have any idea? Now, see, here's a guy that gets it. In many third world countries, it's hard. These people are poor. So let me give you the definition. We'll come back to that question. Autonomous basically means this is self-governing. So when the church at Antioch sent out missionaries that formed churches in all these towns, they didn't form churches that were then dependent on Antioch. And what do we do? No, they developed churches that were self-governing. Next, self-propagating, which means they are able then to reach people and they are able then to send out missionaries, start new churches. So it's self-governing, self-propagating, and the hard one is the self-supporting. And Louis, you think that's a problem in a third world country where they can't support themselves? So what do you do? Dada. So like in the Philippines, we now have the churches in Manila. A couple of guys are now, and Ray, if this is new to you, which this will be new to you because you haven't been to the Philippines, when you now have the churches that have money, and they're usually in Manila because the biggest cities in third world countries always is where the money is. They have money, and guess how they use that money? So here you have the big churches under the bishop. And they call themselves bishop, and they do not mean by that an overseer of Lake County Baptist. They mean by that overseer of all these churches. From my understanding, they even have churches in Dubai that will say such and such church from Manila in Dubai. Now, why is that? Because, well, it is about control. It's about power. So you divvy up the money in a way that makes them dependent on you. You never develop Baptist churches because by their nature, a Baptist church has to be those three things. You see them? Read them with me. Self what? Self. Self. You have this problem in England, would you believe that? English Baptist churches have always had problems with money. It started in the 1700s because for whatever reasons, when Baptists started in the 1600s, they were poor, but there were wealthy people, and the wealthy people helped found a bunch of churches. And when the wealthy people die off, you got churches that have never done what? So, Ron Alexander, one of our deacons, how does a person teach a local church in any country to be self-supporting? This is not rocket science. Don't overthink it. You teach them to tithe on what they have, which will then support, by the way, it will support a pastor, not from America, but a pastor that's used to living at that level. This is one of the reasons they don't need white guys in many countries of the world today. I was talking to our missionaries in Kenya. The last thing they need is another white face that moves to Kenya to save Kenya and stays in Nairobi because it's Western. The pastors, they have plenty of pastors. Philippines has plenty of pastors. They need some other things that we can help them with, education. But folks, to me, the local missions began in a local church, resulted in local church, or local churches, and reported back to a local church. The Philippines is not the worst, I understand. Now here's the problem, Louis. I know it better than you do because I go there. In many of the churches, the problem is not supporting the pastor to the level the average person lives. How do you build a building? And that gets really rough. They just don't have the money. I don't mind us helping people do things like that to a point. I think we can add to them, but there is a place where, so let me just say it. Venezuela had missionaries, Baptist, what were they? Baptist mid-missions from the 1920s or 30s. They were there for generations. I went there and found that the missionaries felt, what's the term? The missionaries came there with support from America. They didn't live like kings, folks, but they lived a lot better than the average Venezuelan. So they had a hard time preaching on, Ron, how does a local church support itself? Do you understand, folks, if you don't do this, what you end up having is the moment the white guy or whoever withdraws, the whole thing goes back to what it was. This is the way churches must work. When I go to the Philippines, I'm not handing out money. I'm not paying pastors. I believe you go there, I could add something to what, as Noel does, we can add some education, some knowledge, some information, some ways of doing things, but I don't want to be, it's not that I don't want to be. It's fundamentally unbiblical to be a bishop over all these churches. Churches are autonomous, self-governing, self-propagating, self-supporting. You say, what if people don't tithe? Do you realize if everybody at Lake County that came here tithe, it's just, we would do a lot of things by now. And here's what's funny. Our church is a very good giving church. Very good giving. All right. Any questions? Any thoughts? Does this make sense? Tim? No. Well, because when I go there and I accidentally walked into this because, see, in the moment you have someone over other churches, you're no longer a Baptist. You understand? You have excluded yourself. Yes. But the pressure's on. Because if you know, if you bow, they literally go to Manila and they kiss the guy's ring. I'm not, they call it mono, but it's the same game. There's two or three of these guys. And you say, it'll never happen here. Are you kidding me? You know the golden rule. Stacy, do you know the golden rule? Yeah, whoever has the gold rules, there you go. I mean, that's the way things work. All right, in your notes. What did Dada say? So this, by the way, this happened to me too, Noel. So just so I've experienced it too. So you go into after you speak, and they always have food. Always have food. Now they do feed me differently. Instead of a little bowl of, you know, of rice, they give me a whole plate, and it's like, oh yes, plain old rice. But yes, if the big important people come, they like have a separate space, And there's another thing. They never listen to me. They're above everybody else, see? And by the way, you say, this isn't the way Baptists ought to be. Phil, do you understand why I'm teaching this? See, one day you and your sweet wife, unless we can keep you here, are going to get transferred someplace. And you know, you'd be surprised at the foolishness taught in so-called Baptist churches. Walter. And you were good with that. Walter, now that's some Filipinos love to honor people like me. So that sometimes they will do special things. That's not a problem. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a guy that brings his entourage. He walks in and he has his bodyguards with him. And it's like, oh. And you know who they are because they always come in with their six guys. And they want to set apart from everybody else because you have to understand, when they will browbeat pastors that are out in remote provincial areas that are so poor. I mean, this year we gave out fans in one area as just kind of a prizes, you know, answer the Bible question, get one. You'd have thought we gave these guys a car. It's a fan. I mean, most of them basically live week to week to week, and it's pretty thin. By the way, nobody in this room could live like that. You couldn't even live close to that. Is this right? First of all, when I stay in a place, I like to have my own room. No Filipino pastor's ever had his own room. They have eight families take that room when they go on someplace. Yes. No, they have more stuff. But it's not. I'm saying they give me extra. Now, they eat more than rice. Now, it might not be something you want to eat. Sometimes there's little stuff sticking out. You know, it's like, yes, go ahead. But see, you're missing the point. I'm sorry, but you're missing the point. The moment you start helping them out on a regular basis, they're no longer autonomous. And then when we stop supporting them, what do they do then? By the way, you can come alongside and be a blessing to them. I take them out to eat, some of them. I do different things. But you cannot support people long term because you defeat the very thing you're trying to do. Period. End discussion. Trust me on that one. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Excuse me. Walter. It would be similar concepts, yes. By the way, Walter, I don't want to get into. I don't want to go take this too far. I wanted really, and I think Louis get it. There's people that are very poor, and it's hard to go there. And I try to live as, with exception of one place, which Louis is the cause of it. I try to live in place, stay in places that aren't the Taj Mahal. Fact is, Pachungay won't stay where I stayed. Will you, Pachungay? Because they had, what are those little things? The roaches didn't eat anything. They were fine. They left me alone at night. I didn't care.
That's what you think.
Because I don't want to go over there and look like I am, you know, wealthy. Because I'm not a wealthy person. All right, let's look in your notes. Let's go down and just say, what exactly does the local church, what part of governing does it function, you know, what are our functions? Number one, the local church disciplines its own members. This is one thing that we must do. When I say the local church, guess what I'm talking about? But the problem with what I just said is local churches don't practice this, including this church. See, this is where I don't think I want to go too far afield, but I might. The local church is required to practice church discipline, which has layers, actually. I'm not even really talking about booting people out of the church. Do you realize most people just absolutely will not do so? If I know someone is a rebel against God, I just don't chit-chat with them. I don't hug them. I don't kiss them. I don't hang out with them. I don't Facebook them. That, to me, is church discipline. That somebody that does wrong ought to know, yes, we're legalist. No, they ought to know that God disapproves. And the way they figure that out is the church disapproves because it's unbiblical. So somebody leaves their spouse and runs off with someone else. But see, we're so used to sin. Most people think church discipline is what happens in a church. Oh, my goodness, in a building. All right, in your notes, we will look at this real quickly. We'll skip the Matthew 18, 1 Corinthians 5. Paul's talking about a man sleeping with someone connected to his father. He says, and you are puffed up and have not mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, this is what the church does, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus, if they're saved. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 6 talks about the other side of this. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of or by many, which tells you that some people did not inflict that. But it is the job of a local church. Look at me, friend. If someone in this church is drinking, and you know about it, you don't have to bring that person before the church. You should disapprove of that behavior, and your friend should know it. Is that clear enough? You say, it's my family. I don't care who it is. Remember this. Let's go back. Tim Durham, come up here. I have shown this so many times, friend, and I'm being really serious. We have young people in this church that Jim Duncan tells me is drinking. I'm sure they are. Because parents won't say anything, people won't say anything. Well, I will say something. I would say something when I was 18. I'll say it now at 59. That doesn't mean we hate people. Remember, remember those two opposing motions. There's a sense. Careful on the neck. I will be very careful of your neck and his bald head. He hits his head, you hurt your neck. Turn around this way. There is a sense, friend, that we embrace people. And I believe in embracing people and loving people. At the same time, I disapprove of what you're doing. Can you do both things at the same time? Some of us are good at this. God bless you. You know, this is your fourth marriage. You're in a better place. And some other people, it's not a problem. By the way, in this church, as in most American churches, it's way too much of, there's got to be this. We do love you, but we're not approving of what you're doing. Love the sinner, like the sinner. By the way, can you get that through your head? That's exactly what God requires. Thank you. I didn't do anything bad to you, Tim. All right, I'll move forward. By the way, 1 Timothy 5. Against an elder, what happens if an elder's do wrong? Well, according to Presbyterians, and the Presbyterian says the elder board, or no. Same group of people. Says, don't receive an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. The idea being is you better know what you're talking about. Them that sin, rebuke before all. They're one of the members of the church, that others also may fear. Number two, so if you see Pastor Kowak drinking, we got a problem. Number two, somebody seen Pastor Kowak drinking. He's drinking this morning. I have to be careful because when I first came here, I used to joke about my wife smoking. And she walked out the back one day when it was cold and her, you know, when your breath blows. Somebody, I saw her smoking. That was bad. Number two, the local church chooses its own leaders. So if you have someone here and the churches are here, I'm going to turn this off for a minute. Well, see, it's all according to what your structure is. If it's a local church, in a local church that's formed, I'm not talking about a Bible study before it becomes formed. The local church, we choose all of our own leaders, whether they're deacons or whether they're pastors. Just that simple. We're not going to discuss all of this. But in Acts 6, we've read this before. The local church chooses its own deacons or those who serve in official ways. 14:23 of Acts, they ordained, and it, by the raising of the hands, has something to do with this, elders in every church. There is a voting aspect to this. That Greek word is only found twice. It's found there and in 2 Corinthians 8:19, which has the idea of choosing, and I think by voting in some ways, raising the hand. Chair is the Greek word for hand. So you have this concept of, in some way, the local church chooses its own leadership. Now, friend, if it's a missions church, otherwise, Lake County Baptist, years and years ago, a young man left this church, Paul Rudy, good guy. Brother Paul started a church, and it was kind of a Bible study, moved around a couple times, ended up in Genoa City. Paul's now with the Lord. Unbelievably, Mike, he's been with the Lord a long time, isn't it? One of my best memories was the fact that we went there when we did. Who chose the leader of that Bible study church? Well, of course, in some ways, this church, and he did. But the next time around, there wasn't somebody up here choosing who the pastor was. That local church chose Ryan Vanderwalker, and then after that, they've chosen Rick Melvin. And I think Rick will be there a while, and his wife and kids, and I think he's doing a wonderful job. You understand, so at first, when you're sending out missionaries, yes, but once a church gets formed, that local church chooses pastors, their leadership, in your notes. The pastors of a local church are the missionaries, in case it's a mission setting, still lead. They still lead specifically by teaching. See, I think it's hard when you have a missionary that's gone over and started, say, these many churches. And here's the missionary. The missionary is no longer the person in charge of those churches, but the missionary can still influence by teaching. So he won't, you know, if this church needs a pastor, he doesn't choose the pastor, but he might, you know, as much as possible, obviously, make sure they fit the biblical requirements, you know, influenced by what he's taught and what he continues to do. That's legitimate. Next in your notes. So, the pastors or missionaries still lead by teaching. Qualifications are still met. The reason there are qualifications in the Bible for a pastor is what purpose? So you know who to choose. Yes? I mean, if there was not necessary for the church to know those qualifications, take them out. Let somebody else decide. But the church needs to know what are the qualifications for a pastor. It's kind of important. Next, the Bible is still followed in any setting. And I believe members still vote. And I think it's important that members vote. Now, folks, if you have any other form of church government, i.e., you have a quasi-Presbyterian, which is John MacArthur's view, are a lot of other people. They have a board of elders, and of course we've talked about this. They have two different kinds of elders. Instead of having, we have four elders here or pastors, but they're all pastors. They have one or maybe two or three teaching elders, and then they have this other group. And if they want another elder in most of these kind of churches, they choose those people. The church has nothing to do with this. In our setting, the church chooses these guys. It's always the church voting in these cases. Why? Because I think that's the reason the Bible gives us this information, so you can choose wisely. Number three, the local church collects and dispenses its own finances. It collects and dispenses its own finances. Now, since Louis brought this up, Louis, when you have a bishop in the Philippines that is the bishop over many churches, who makes the decision about the local church's finances? Do you know where the local church's finances go? They go to Manila. And then the bishop decides who gets what. Now, local church makes those decisions. I don't wish I could make every decision because I don't have any special wisdom. I like to consult other people when you make decisions. But understand, we bring on a new missionary. It's got to be a church wanting that. It can't just be me. I can't just decide I'm going to do this. Or we don't have somebody above us that decides this is what we're going to do. It doesn't work that way. You see this in action, of course, with the offering that was offering or offerings that were given to the church, the believers in Jerusalem. Acts 11:29. Pastor Kwok, you want to read these verses for me, please? By the way, that's good. Does everybody see what's going on here? Paul doesn't write to the pastor of a church and say, you do this. He writes to the believers. It's a believer's responsibility. And as a pastor, yes, I lead. Pastor Kwok leads. Noel leads. Brian leads. Yes. But on the other side of this, it's really the church. And in Acts 11:29, the disciples, every man or woman, according to his or her ability, determined to send relief. I mean, it's not some kind of a thing that individuals do. I like 1 Corinthians 16. He says some very provocative thoughts concerning the collection for the saints. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Meaning, this is what I teach every place. Follow what I teach every place. I like it, he says, do this on the first day of the week, the day you gather together, as God has prospered you, because this is a special offering. And then he says that there be no gatherings when I come. Everyone look at me. Do you understand that principle? When I do an offering here, I don't tell sad stories. I don't spend 30 minutes beating you up. I don't hound people. If you want to give, give. If you don't want to give, don't give. There is no person can ever look me in the eye and say, you just talk about money all the time. That person would be a... Because really, this is between you and God. And that's what Paul, he said, I could show the pictures of the starving babies. But, you know, here we have, by the way, Franco leaves tomorrow, is that right? You know a little bit about that church. You realize we're giving that church down in Haiti $6,000 to rebuild. And he's taking a bunch of barrels of clothing and stuff that we gathered here for those families and those two, there's two churches not too far apart, that lost everything in the last hurricane. And he says the best part of it is they have no idea we're doing this. They'll find out this week. If you want to give, fine. Some people don't like to give. I do. Well, let's go to number four. We've already read these verses, so we don't need to do it again. The local church commissions its own missionaries. I have to be very careful about this, because this can be taken in a place, in a direction that's not necessary. This does not mean we don't use a mission board. Why would we use mission boards? Do we use mission boards? Yes, why? Because we're one church. And could we support missionaries on our own? Yeah, maybe one or two. Maybe. But what happens if we go through financial difficulties? All of a sudden, those people have nothing and they're on the field. We go through mission agencies because our church and churches of like faith and practice, we gather, we join together, and we work together to support various missionaries and mission agencies. But at the very basis of this, it's still the local church making the decisions what it does with missionaries. So we might have a guy that everybody likes. I used to take Dr. Moritz's recommendations when he was the head of Baptist World. I still do, of course, but he's not the head anymore. I took his recommendations usually. I'd bring those folks here because I knew he knew them. May I say this to you? But we still have to vote, and we still have to decide this is the guy we want to support. That's the way it works. Number five. Now, number five, I freely confess to everyone in this room, is the most difficult. It's easy to read, difficult to practice. It is actually an embarrassment. The local church voluntarily determines its own relationship with other local churches. What's the problem with that? Well, in America, I was talking to Dan Hufstetler. Dan Hufstetler is our missionary in Kenya. He said, Pastor Warren, when I go looking for churches, there's certain things that are red flags to me. He says, this is his decision. He says, I no longer go to any church that talks about the King James Bible. Do you have any idea why? They speak other languages in Kenya. And he says, you go to those churches, and eventually they're going to try to trap you and talk to you about the King James Version, which has nothing to do. It's become increasingly difficult, even in our kinds of groups, to get along with people. Maybe it's always been that way. It's an embarrassment to us, I can tell you that. You say, well, I grew up in a King James only church. God bless you. Try translating that into, you know, Mongolian. See how that works. You know, it becomes one of those conversation pieces that's foolish. But you don't realize how much of this is out there. Let's read these verses together. Obviously, the local churches, the church in Antioch and the church of Jerusalem, had to have a pretty serious discussion about the issue of the gospel even. So we'll just skip down in your notes to verse chapter 15, verse 1. It says, now this is in Antioch, remember. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you are circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now Paul has just been on a mission trip all over modern-day Turkey, starting churches, teaching the opposite of that. So it says in verse 2, therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension. I'm guaranteeing you there was a pretty good fight going on. And disputation with them, they determined, the church, that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about the question. So one local church sent some delegates from Antioch to the local church in Jerusalem. Verse 3, it says, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia, Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. Verse 4. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of or by the what? I mean, it wasn't just one elder having the conversation or one. Now, we don't have apostles today. We have the scripture. But on the bottom line is the whole church got together. This was two churches getting together to discuss and solve this problem, which they obviously did. All right, I'm going to skip all the verses for time and energy and other things and go down to final thoughts. Under the headship of Christ, according to the authority and teaching of the apostles, as now written in the scripture, the local church, and I'm not going to rewrite it, just three words, is led by the pastors, bishops, overseers, and elders. It's led, not lebbed. Served by its deacons. And it is governed by the saints. That's a local church. Do we believe in more than a local church? Yes, we believe in a universal church. Why? Our forefathers always believed in a universal church. But when we're discussing the local church, this is what we're talking about. All right, let's pray, and we'll be done 2 minutes early. Father, thank you for this day. Bless our time together. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks. I am really happy there were...